station. My favorite station is Radio 104.7 in Laguna Beach. I like music.
Hi, I'm Ida May.
And I'm Tommy J.
We invite you to join us Wednesday at 9 a.m. for Neighboring with the Mayor.
Mayor Bob Whalen will share the latest news and stories from the city of Laguna Beach on KXFM.
Come neighbor with us on the Radio Neighboring Wednesday Show, 8 to 10 a.m. Sponsored by the family-owned O'Brien Law Group. It's community radio, y'all.
And here in the studio, Ida May, would you believe the mayor of Laguna Beach, Bob Whalen, is sitting in. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Tom. Ida May.
Well, welcome. I know I have a split personality. I know I introduced myself out there as Cindy. But the persona comes on and my mother comes out of my mouth.
There you go.
Straight out of Texas. But welcome. Welcome to our show. We're so happy to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I have to tell you right off, and I said this earlier, two former mayors, both women, I've run into the last 2 days and, of course, bragged about you being on the air. One is Tony Eisman. Uh-huh. And, I mean, they just adore you. They both said the best people. He's good people.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
And Sue Kemp is the other one.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's, anyway, there, Tony and Sue and I served a number of years together, so it's good to hear that. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to give kudos to Bob Whalen for his spearheading of the whole adventure of Laguna Beach, taking over the Orange County beaches in South Laguna and putting it under the purview of the city of Laguna Beach. Kudos and congratulations on getting that done. But you were the guy that spearheaded that, right?
Yeah, I started on that maybe 3 years ago or so, three plus years. And yeah, I just thought, you know, Tom, it was really something that was right for our city, right? Why would we have, cities in our beaches in our city that we weren't running? Our lifeguard marine safety team does a great job, you know, throughout the city. So we worked with the county. We had a lot of good cooperation with Supervisor Bartlett. And in the end, you know, I think it was a pretty good deal for the city. They gave us $22 million. We took over the beaches. I mean, there are expenses obviously associated with that. But already we're hearing, and in fact, Councilmember Ranagi mentioned last night at the meeting that, you know, he's getting a lot of feedback from people down on the beaches. They love having the Laguna lifeguards there, and they're doing a great job, and they're so personable. And
what a great decision for the city council to, they could decide, okay, everybody pays whether you're a city person or not at the meters at Aliso Beach, but you guys worked it out, and now, if you have a shopper sticker, Laguna shopper sticker, the locals can come and park for the cost of their sticker, which means they don't have to feed the meters or anything, and go to the Lost Pier Cafe and all those good things. And thank you guys so much for that.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing. You've got the two lots there, the Oceanside and the Inland Side, and so everybody with a shopper's permit can come down and use it.
Well, that's brilliant. And then Ida May, I was going to let you run some of those get to know the neighbor questions.
Well, one thing I want to say about the fact that the city's taken over, I'm a 9th Street Beach volleyball player.
Oh.
And we always played down at the very north end of that beach. And when everybody discovered 9th Street Beach, Thousand Steps, it became in our neighbor. I live in that neighborhood, and you know how it impacted us.
Oh, absolutely.
And I myself, and I'm speaking for all those neighbors down there, you are a hero to us. You really are. And what I've noticed the last time I was there, there's a lifeguard way down at the north end.
Right.
And what that's done is kept folks out of the bushes. Doing
that's good to know, yeah.
Their business. Yeah. But I just want you to know, we all feel a difference. And even the way they're guarding the streets now and cleaning up, there's more garbage cans. If I made a request, and I've been neighboring around town because they know you're going to be on the air with me, and of course we want more bathrooms.
We're working on the bathrooms. No, that's
are you
well,
really?
Well, we're one of our in our capital improvement plan. We're at the bottom of the stairs. You know, they remodeled those bathrooms and they had to make it ADA compliant, so it actually reduced the size there. So we're looking at whether we can add some bathroom capacity there. And then we're also looking at you know, longer term, we had last night, it was in front of us to look at the fire station site, and we're looking at public bathrooms there too. So we know we need to get more bathrooms in. So it's on the radar.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, who hasn't said that? You can't go with one potty when 1,000 people are down there. And but the lifeguards are so friendly, and they are so proactive, those young kids.
They really are. And we had to hire 58 or 59, I think, for all of South Laguna
beaches. Is there still openings? Can we announce for folks if they're a water person, they could go down and get themselves a lifeguard job?
Well, I think they could check with Marine Safety, but I believe they're full up. They were full up to start the season, which was a huge lift.
Congratulations.
Right? I mean, that was Kevin Snow and his team to get, and Kai Bond, you know, to get that many guys, men and women hired, and ready to go. And so I'm just thrilled that it sounds like the neighborhood and all the feedback we're getting is positive. And, you know, it's been a great changeover.
It has. And we have for years. And I've lived here forever. And, you know, before we weren't even incorporated with the city.
Right. Before 89.
Yeah. But now we are. And we don't feel like the stepchild. We feel like we've all come together. We are one community. And I'm so proud of that.
Yeah. Well, no, it's it just made all the sense to me, and you know, I'm thrilled we were able to work it out. You know, we've got they're interesting beaches down there. They're different beaches than up here. They're a little more wild, you know, with the shore break and the rocks and the waves
and people getting washed off
and the way the sand moves and the, you know, the caves down there and the pools. Anyway, our guys are doing a great job, and I'm glad to hear it.
Oh, they really are. And those rocks in that cave, that's always, I mean, we grew up with little kids on the beach beside the court, and we guarded everything. Mm-hmm. We were a bunch of moms that would and chase them off the rocks and even all the way down to the cave. But that became such an attraction.
It did. Well, you know, social media kind of,
it changed everything.
Took off, right? And that was advertised as one of the beaches to be at, you know, in Southern California. So, it all of a sudden we had the crowds overrunning and some crazy stuff going on down there. So, you know, our lifeguards will do a good job of enforcing our rules. And then we've got the park rangers, you know, that are going through there. And so we're gonna keep at it. And I think it's just going to be a long-term plus for all of us.
I do too, and we're so pleased. Just coming from your south neighbor down there.
You're listening to Mayor Bob Whalen here at KXFM. We wanted to ask some things like, so Bob, you've been in the city for a long time doing work, but what got you into public service and how did you start that?
Well, that's an interesting story. I've been here... it'll be 40 years next May, so I've been here, you know, a long time.
And brag about the terms, too. How many terms have you served as mayor, or just on city council?
This is my third term, so, I'll have served 12 years at the end of this term, and five of those as mayor. And
wow.
As mayor, Bob.
It's an honor to be selected by your colleagues, and I have been. And part of that, it was unusual, right, because during COVID, I was the mayor in 19, and then all of a sudden COVID hit and the council decided, well, let's, you know, there's just so much going on. It turned then in from a, you know, sort of a part-time job, literally into a full-time job. Oh. I mean, every day I was dealing with the city manager and the police chief and public safety. Just what do we do? How do we respond? You know, do we close the beaches, open the beaches? Do we close the restaurants? Anyway, so that was a little bit unusual. I think that was part of that situation. But it's an honor to be the mayor, and I don't have any particularly more power than any other council member. But you are asked to be the spokesperson for the city, so that's an interesting part of the role. But answering your question, going back to the beginning, how I got involved was, I was involved at this with School Power. My kids were little, and you know, I was on the board. And what I do for my real job is I'm a lawyer, and I happen to do a lot of public finance work for school districts, cities, water districts, you know, throughout the state. And in 1996 or so, the school district got in some real financial difficulty, and there was a risk that the state was going to take them over because their books weren't balanced at the end of the year, June 30th. Anyways, a long story short, Susan Moss was on the board at the time, and you know, she came and asked for my assistance, you know, with this financial situation. So we were able to work it out. We did a very small bridge loan of like $250,000 so they could balance the books, and then, you know, the state was not going to get involved in the school district. And then, so the board knew me a little bit through that process. And then there was a vacancy that came up because Karen Linden moved up to Newport Beach. And so I was appointed to the school board in 97 to fill the vacancy. And then I ran in 98 and was elected to two terms. So that's how I get going.
Start a public service right there.
Right.
And are you a California kid?
No. I grew up just outside Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay. I don't hear it, though. I guess you could put it on if you wanted, right?
I could put it on if I wanted
just
to.
Like, yeah. I can twang if I need to. Now, Bob, where did you go to school? Tell us a little bit, just because folks asked me to ask you.
Oh, okay. So I went to Harvard, and you know, you say, oh, how do you get to California? And I decided, well, two ways. I said, you know, I knew I wanted to go to law school, but where? I had a real interest in city and regional planning, and I had a professor at Harvard who was my undergraduate thesis advisor, and she was a woman. Her name was Florence Ladd, and she had previously been a professor at UC Berkeley, and she said, oh, you got to apply to Berkeley. They have a joint program, you know, for law and city and regional planning. So I applied to that, applied to a couple others, at, you know, on the East Coast as well, and ended up getting into the Berkeley program, and you know, went out sight unseen to California, dropped in. I still remember flying into San Francisco, you know, having never been to this state, 10 days ahead of when school was going to start, you know, with a duffel bag on my back. And
what year was this?
This was August of 1975. So I landed, if you know Boston, which I'm sure you do, it's got the oldest subway system in the country, right? It's got the first subway system in the country. And I land, and I take a bus from the airport downtown, and I go into this thing called BART,
I lived up there.
Space age,
yeah.
You know? I mean, like, there were no people. there was only these machines to buy tickets from, and, you know, where's the conductor? And it was like a different world. So that's how it all started.
So Harvard and Bolt Hall, not bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. No, it was great. I had a great, I ended up not doing the fourth year for the master's in planning. I just was, at that point, I just kind of delved into the law, but had a great, met some wonderful people there, professors and lifelong friends. It's really...
Sure, and I love the Bay Area. I live there in Berkeley and then Piedmont.
Oh, yeah.
But you took the dreaded California bar and survived it. My husband's an attorney, too. He went to Hastings.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But and my son is a lawyer, too, but I sat through both of them going through that California bar, and I've never seen anything so brutal. 3 days of brutality.
It was pretty intense. Yeah, and there was the whole prep course ahead of it. And that was the summer of 78. I took that in July of 78 up there. I remember that. But yeah, that you never forget that one.
How did you find Laguna Beach then?
Well, so then I ended up going to San Diego for a year to clerk for a federal judge. A wonderful man named Ed Schwartz. The federal building's now named after him down there, the courthouse. He was the first federal judge in San Diego. And his, I learned from him, his claim to fame was he, during the whole Nixon Watergate thing, he actually was the one who came up to the Western White House in San Clemente and he was the judge that presided over Nixon's deposition.
Wow.
So I was down there for a year. I had spent a summer working for a firm in Los Angeles, and after that year at the clerkship, I said, you know, I really don't want to go to downtown L.A. And they said, well, we have an office in Orange County in Newport Beach. So I started there. And then we purchased our first home in Santa Ana in 1980. And then our daughter was born, our first of our three children. And we started looking around thinking, you know, where do we want to be for long term, raise a family? And my wife's from Northern California. She grew up in Sacramento, so she wasn't a real fan of, you know, the sort of the planned communities around. She started looking around and said, well, we can stay in Southern California, but we need to live in Laguna Beach.
I said the same thing.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Good decision.
Orange County? I'm not moving from Berkeley to Orange County. They'll run me out of town down there.
Yeah.
And when I found Laguna, I felt like it was the Berkeley of Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and so beautiful, didn't you think? I mean, just
absolutely beautiful. I can still remember, you know, when we were, look, we're still in the house, the first house we bought several remodels later.
Oh, that's great.
But over up in North Laguna on Holly Street. But I distinctly remember we were looking in the springtime. You know, we looked for probably almost a year, but the year we bought, you know, it was April or something. You just smell the flowers and, you know, it was just a wonderful, you know, environment. So we've been very happy, very fortunate to be there.
Well, we're very fortunate to have you here. And I know you want to talk about environmental initiatives with Laguna Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let her fly, because I read your text and I took you serious. Even though I'm dying to ask you a lot of personal questions, I know your time is limited. And
well, you know, yeah, sort of, you prompted me to say sort of what are we, you know, what are some of the important things that we're working on?
What are your proud accomplishments? I know you're an environmentalist, so I'd love to hear.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, and this goes back to councils before me, but I think I really am very proud of the environmental stewardship that the council has shown and the community has, you know, supported and urged us on to. I mean, you go back in time to like 2012 when the council then, it was before I got on, did the plastic bag ban, which was one of the first in the state. And then since then, we've done just a number of different things. And most recently, of course, we approved quite a bit of funding, like $425,000, to update our climate action and adaptation plan, which hadn't been updated since 2009. So that program is going on. And what that is designed to do, really, is to give us the roadmap to how do we become, you know, a truly sustainable green community. But so that's underway. You know, of course, the Marine Protection Zone,
the Blue Belt,
you know, which is, I'm not sure there's another city in the state who has their entire coastline in the Marine Protection Zone. And that's, you know, you talk to people who are in the ocean a lot, and they say it's just made a huge difference, right?
And even the fishermen are getting more fish outside the zone because of it.
Outside the zone, right. But there's bigger fish and more fish inside the zone, and, you know, some of the shellfish are coming back. So anyway, we got the Marine Protection Zone, and then we've, you know, a couple meetings ago, we just adopted a electrification plan. You know, how do we electrify the entire city fleet and build the charging system, the charging stations that we need, convert the trolleys, convert the Laguna Beach locals, convert, you know, all the public works trucks. And we will, by 2030, we will have converted, you know, this, I'm sure will change a little bit over time, but about 90% of the fleet. There's some things like fire trucks and so on that they haven't quite got the things for, but so that's exciting. So, you know, we've just got so many initiatives underway that are going to keep us, you know, and then the blue ocean, the green hills, you know, we're quite blessed. But it's not through, you know, and there are so many people that came before me, right, that created all that open space, which is, you know,
the green belt.
The green belt. I mean, a gift for eternity, really.
Yeah.
And So I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of the not just me and not just the council, but the entire community's commitment to, you know, maintaining the purity of the environment that we have here and restoring it where we can.
We're so lucky that we're so progressive that way.
Right.
And yeah. And what about fire safety? That is a huge issue in this town. I didn't live here when it happened, but CNN made it look like this town was on fire, and it was.
It was, yeah.
It absolutely was. Yeah, that was here. That was 1993,
right.
October. So we're coming up on four.
Did you have to evacuate?
Well, the whole city evacuated,
well,
yeah.
Well, we were at Treasure Island Mobile Park then.
Oh.
And so they didn't evacuate us, but we were at the south end. But, boy, it was crazy.
They didn't make you leave. I actually stayed and stayed on a our my wife, Kirsten, and the kids evacuated, but I stayed and, you know, was sleeping on a friend's couch down on Bluebird. You know, just, it was just a crazy day. It was an unbelievable day. And a lot of people here still remember it. So yeah, what we've spent, the council, we talked about a little bit last night. In fact, we've really spent a lot of, effort and time and money to improve fire safety, and we adopted the, Sue Kemp and I worked on as a subcommittee, and we proposed to the council in 2019 the Wildfire Mitigation Safety Plan, which had like 46 elements to it. And we've implemented a lot of them. And, you know, in terms of, you know, we're doing the blue, widening down at Bluebird and the undergrounding of the utilities at the bottom of Bluebird. We've got a little undergrounding on Park Avenue because we want people to be able to, you know, evacuate there. Of course, we're still working on the canyon project to get that undergrounded out there. And we've expanded the fire mitigation zones. I don't know if you heard last night, but we talked a little bit about that. And it's a difficult process because there you're balancing kind of the environmental side of what can you, what kind of fuel modification can you do without, you know, really negatively impacting native plants. It's a very expensive and time-consuming process, and I wish there was a way we could streamline it more. But we have to go through a whole environmental analysis and then ultimately get a permit from the Coastal Commission to expand the areas. So I know some neighbors are concerned that, you know, there's certain areas that we still haven't been able to get to, and that's really because we're still in the permitting process and trying to get it done. But, yeah, fire safety is a constant focus and needs to be.
Well, I noticed it immediately when I moved back from Telluride, and we live up on a canyon in South Laguna. The fire chief was there almost immediately and told us we had to clean out that canyon, or they would.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't messing around.
Yeah.
And I, when we left here from South Laguna, I hadn't seen anything like that, but they were serious about it. Another thing that I'm proud y'all have done is we are so water-wise in this town.
Well, we certainly try to be, and you know, they have the competition each year, the Wyland Waterwise competition. I think we've won 8 times in a row. But as some people say to me, well, that doesn't mean anything. That just means, you know, people have, you know, weighed into the survey and said they'll be waterwise, but it doesn't mean they are actually waterwise.
Who's conserving?
Who's conserving? But I said, well, first of all, it's a mindset kind of thing, right?
Sure.
Because if you're taking the pledge, you know, that's front of mind, and then maybe you will start looking at ways. But no, our use per capita has dropped dramatically since 2013. The Water District, the state law required you to track from 2013, and the Water District tracks it, and we've really seeing our per capita, you know, use drop and maintain at a low level. So, we are water wise. There's a very exciting project going on at the Pacific Marine Mammal Center.
Yes,
which is the second largest water user in the city, behind the city itself. And they are, and we just approved some temporary space for them at the dog park to construct their recycle project. They will recycle 5 million gallons of water a year when that's complete, which will be, again, just a huge, you know, water-wise solution for the community.
It's so educational because I think it makes the community members more aware and educated on what we can do. And I've seen a difference even in my neighborhood. Now, another thing a neighbor asked me is about pedestrian safety in this town.
They need to go to school and learn how to walk across a crosswalk without looking at their cell phone.
Well, you know, so Councilmember Ranagi brought up last night, because he's the liaison to our Parking, Transportation, Circulation Committee, a pledge. And it's kind of like we were just talking about the water pledge, you know. Yeah. What is a pledge? Well, this has got a bicycle pledge, a driver pledge, and a pedestrian pledge, right? And it's just, again, bringing it sort of to front of mind that, hey, that, you know, I need to do, you know, I need to be careful. I need to be careful walking. I need to be careful biking. I need to be careful driving. And, yeah, people get so distracted while they're doing it, all of those categories of people, that it can be very dangerous. So, yeah, we had a really bad, you know, streak of pedestrian deaths. I mean, that were tragic. And most of them, the recent ones, not in crosswalks. People just, you know, in the street. And the driver's not at fault, not, you know, not drugs or alcohol. But still, it happened. And so we've worked with Caltrans on Coast Highway to get a lot of those flashing signs in and make them all more uniform. So, again, it's sort of, right, drilling into the mind. Okay, there's one sign that when it's that means pedestrian, when it's flashing yellow. So we want to work on that. I mean, the Caltrans is working. It'll be starting next year on the southern half of Coast Highway on the sidewalk project. So there's going to be some sidewalk gaps filled in that will help pedestrian safety, I think. Ultimately, I think, and this will probably be long after I'm gone, but ultimately, I think when you know, Caltrans is done with that project, we need to look at taking over local ownership of Pacific Coast Highway or Coast Highway, and we can then do a lot more, local solutions for traffic safety and pedestrian
safety.
You
guys did a great job during the summer when it backs up downtown to getting the human traffic directors out there, and I love those volunteers. I don't know if they're volunteers, they're paid, but they're in the jackets, and right. they'll direct, and it allows both the pedestrian flow when it's a large bunch of pedestrians and the traffic flow to blend, and it's a lot smoother with that.
Yeah, no, they do a great job, and you know, mostly in the downtown areas, you say, Tom, but and then we did put in some improvements there with the crosswalk where you can go
all directions.
Yeah. And so we try to work on it, and we do want to make it more pedestrian friendly. It's a challenge with as many cars and as we have coming through town every day.
Well, and it's a real challenge in South Laguna. That is treacherous down there, because there's babies and kids and strollers and those little shuttles and whatever they're doing, but they're out on the Coast Highway. It's so treacherous, and I'm not sure what the solution's going to be down there.
Yeah.
Because it's so new. You know, we didn't always see that down there. You literally could walk across the street with a baby on your hip and without that 9th Street light.
The good old days.
Yeah. You were here.
Yeah.
You were here. I know I'm jumping in.
Well, no, it's all good, and we may want to save some for the next visit when Mayor Bob Whalen comes back to Radio Neighboring.
Okay, and I just want to compliment. I was downtown yesterday, as I said, and I was neighboring around, and I love what's going on First Ave. It's really pretty. It's really pleasant. I don't know where it's going to go from there, but what's your vision of Laguna Beach? What's your bottom line vision here?
Well, I think the pandemic had so much, you know, sadness and tragedy with it, right? But it one of the upsides was people coming outdoors and the outdoor dining.
Innovation.
Yeah, and I think that's here to stay. We do have a couple of concepts for the permanent Forest Avenue Plaza to come to us in the fall. I think it's gone to our Planning Commission, and they're working on it now. So, my vision is that we're going to keep certainly that outdoor space. And then I think some of the parklets where the restaurants have, expanded outdoors will stay. And some, of course, some of it's private outdoor dining that we want to see stay as well. So, yeah, that's been a fun outcome.
Yeah, for all us locals, it's such a pleasant experience. I don't know about tourists, but we're loving it. And this is one thing a lot of people have said about you, the two former mayors and a few other folks, that you never lose your temper.
Well, rarely.
and they're wondering why. Where did that come from? How do you keep from being angry or upset? I mean, you're a very public figure. You got a mic in front of you all the time. How do you do it?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. I think it's just sort of my personality. I might trace it back to my mother. She was, you know, she was very even keeled like that. She had four boys, you know, and my dad, four boys, no daughters. So she was wrangling all of us all the time. And there were some fights, and, you know, there was some back and forth. So she had a very calm personality. So maybe
what did she do?
Oh, I love this story. She went to college, and then she got into journalism, did a little bit of that for a while. But then, you know, she got married, and we all came along. And she was the editor of the local paper for a few years.
Oh,
which
my gosh.
Sort of like the Independent, you know, called the Westwood Press. So she did that. But then in order to help put all of us through college, she ended up going back to teaching. And we teased her about this, but she went to teach at an all-girls school so she could get her daughters. And
there you go.
She loved that, and they loved her. She was there for, I don't know, 15 or more years, and, you know, just really enjoyed that part of her life. So,
well, no wonder she had a calm influence.
Yeah.
Mothering four boys and a husband and teaching in an all-girls school. You've got to have some patience.
Yeah, she had a lot of patience. She was a wonderful person.
And you exude respect. And I think that's a big part of being able to see what's going on and have respect for the folks you're interacting with and then dealing with it through that concept. And I really appreciate it. This is Bob Whalen, mayor of Laguna Beach, right here at KXFM Radio. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me and for being so kind to me here.
we love it, and I could go on and on. I mean, it's just so interesting to get to know you and live on the air. I mean, the questions were all here, but you've been so generous.
Thank you for thank you for having me, and I'll look forward to getting together.
Yeah, please come back.
Down the road.
So, Mayor Bob Whalen, we have actually a theme song for you. It's by the Duotones. And I don't know if you remember Gil Orr and Tom Morey, the boogie board maker, at the coffee shop, Laguna Coffee Shop, would play. Well, this is his band, the Duotones. And it's called Beach City Bob. Actually, Beach City Bop. I didn't say that right. But this is Bob Whalen. Thanks so much, Bob, for coming in.
Thank you,
come
Tom.
Back.
Thank you.
Y'all come back.
I will. Thank
you. Okay.